Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. 96.5 The Fan. Also, the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. So, this is what we have planned on today's show. We are going to stop at every single location where the Chiefs drafted a player. We're going to go to Ohio State. We're going to go to Tennessee. We're going to go to SMU. And we're going to learn more about every selection for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to take our first stop and learn more about Josh Simmons. We are going to head to Ohio State and catch up with Chico Boardman. We'll also talk to him about the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur Sanders, as they were the number one story in the NFL draft. Certainly a lot to get into. So, we're going to start our transition to baseball probably tomorrow. We've got a couple of baseball guests, but we kind of want to put a bow on our NFL draft conversations. So we are going to do that today, and we're going to take a stop at every location that the Chiefs made a draft pick. Before we talk about the NFL draft, though, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to the drive each day right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. It would be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? Beggars cannot be choosers. I would just like it if you guys could tell one friend to check out the show. You know what? I would appreciate that a bunch. So, before we take our first stop in this tour around the Chiefs draft, now that for the most part, the player acquisition portion of the offseason is complete. Now, maybe an injury happens and the Chiefs pick up a veteran. We're still trying to see what happens with Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers in a couple of situations around the league, but for the most part, the big player movement in the league is now complete. We're waiting on the schedule to come out. We're waiting to see if an injury happens at some point this offseason, something off the field that happens that could take a guy off the field early in the season. There is still a lot of time between now and week one of the NFL season, but 99% of the Kansas City Chiefs are already on this year's roster. So there are some things that I think we can say pretty definitively about this team. And I think there are still some question marks that I think you can have about the Kansas City Chiefs coming into the season. And this is where we tackle some of the question marks. Now, let's just get this question out of the way because I don't want to spend too much more time on it. We talked about this yesterday. It's related to their running back room. I believe the Chiefs sent a pretty clear message this offseason that they believe Isaiah Pacheco is going to be back to his normal self. And Isaiah Pacheco is certainly a capable running back in this league. I think he proved that his first 2 years in the National Football League. Last year, I believe it was much more of a product of injury than the offensive line or anything else. He is expected to be fully healthy this year. He is expected to be back this year. Can this running back room absorb any injury that happens? Last year, they were not in a position to absorb an injury that happened. They lost Isaiah Pacheco, and that really was kind of the end of them having a home run swing at running back. So I want to get to the other questions, but that is still a question that remains with this team. The Chiefs have a bottom five, bottom eight running back room in the National Football League. Now, is that a big deal with this passing attack? We'll obviously see as the season progresses. But the Chiefs have given you their answer on their level of confidence about this running back room heading into the year. They are very confident in Isaiah Pacheco and him bouncing back. They love Kareem Hunt. They made a draft pick, and they are expecting to get something from Elijah Mitchell this year. We'll see what this running back room looks like. Let's move to a big question that I think they tried to address in this year's draft class. It comes down to pass rush. The Chiefs, over the last couple of years, have been a team that is near the top of the NFL at forcing pressure and getting to the quarterback. Last year, this team did not have a single defensive player who got to double-digit sacks, and this is also a team that lost the player that was second in sacks in Tershawn Wharton. So, George Karlaftis had 8 sacks last year. Tershawn Wharton had 6.5 sacks. Chris Jones had 5 sacks. Mike Dana had 3.5. This was not a team that got tremendous pressure last year. Now, we talk a lot about Charles Omenihu, and certainly the expectation is that he is going to bounce back. This is a really important year for Charles Omenihu. He doesn't have too many more years left, I think, to go command the heavy bag. We're talking about you signing a 3-year deal at 15 per, you getting $25, $30 million guaranteed as one of the better pass rushers in the league. That time is kind of dwindling for him. He had a disappointing year. Now, that disappointing year is related to the injury that happened, but Charles Omenihu had 1 sack last year. He was not a tremendous force last year. He was not a guy that got a lot of quarterback hits, a lot of quarterback pressures last year and tackle for losses. Now, when he got there, he opened things up for George Karlaftis, and he was a plus in that way, but he didn't go get his last year. You are expecting now with the year that he's healthy, him on the opposite side of George Karlaftis, you got Chris Jones. Hopefully you get more than 5 sacks from him this year, and he kind of bounces back to being a double-digit sack guy. A major question for this team is going to be, do they have enough pass rush? This organization spent a first-round draft pick a handful of years ago on Felix Onyedike Uzomah. He has given you very little so far in that department. So you are hoping between going to get Norman Lott, going to get the kid from Louisville, having Felix Onyedike Uzomah as a first-round pick now heading into year 3. Well, we'll see if the Chiefs are even interested in picking up that fifth-year option that they just picked up with George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie. Rob, a major question for this team heading into the year is, do they have enough pass rush? Because this organization let one of its better pass rushers walk in free agency, certainly understandable when you see the contract that Wharton got from the Carolina Panthers, but they didn't really do a whole lot to replace him this year. Who's going to be that guy that sets the tone for this team? Who's going to be the guy that gets to the quarterback? And is there another level for George Karlaftis? We talked about him being a Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson type. He hasn't put together one of those kind of years. This would be a really good year to do that if you're George Karlaftis. If you go out there and you put up a 12 and a half sack season and you're top 10, you make a Pro Bowl, you're 24 years old and you are entering your prime as a pass rush, that's a guy that can go get himself a $100 million contract by putting together a big year. Is this team going to improve in pass rush? Do they have enough in pass rush? That's one of my big questions as we are entering the season.
I honestly think pass rush is the absolute biggest question because of the investment the Chiefs have made in the defensive line. Like, yes, are they paying massive contracts to Charles Omenihu and Mike Dana? No. But those were two guys we thought might have walked away from the Chiefs and they could have ready-made replacements on the roster. They brought them back. You mentioned George Karlaftis. We're waiting to see that next step. He picked up the fifth-year option, but is he going to be a big-time pass rusher in the league or is he going to get the Mike Dana contract somewhere? FAU is a former first-rounder. Chris Jones is one of the highest-paid defensive tackles in the NFL, and I know that Ashton Gelati, the third-round pick out of Louisville, it's a third-round pick, but when you spend a top 100 pick at pass rush, you expect to get some pass rush. That is a position group the Chiefs have invested heavily. You look at other position groups or other places in the field the Chiefs invest, they are getting good ROI. They have not got it much, at least last year, at pass rush. That, to me, is the biggest question they have is they've tried to get pass rush. Can they get back to who they are pass rush-wise? Bink had the stat yesterday. They were 18th in sacks last year. That is not good enough for a Steve Spagnuolo defense to go win a Super Bowl. It has to be better in 2025.
Another major question for this team comes down to wide receiver. I think it's kind of twofold. Number one, is Rashee Rice going to be suspended? How long is that suspension going to be? I think we have all operated the last couple of years that this is a foregone conclusion. He had a very storyline-filled offseason last year, and we are kind of waiting for the repercussions of that. What does that look like? Is that a two-game suspension, three-game suspension, four-game suspension? We're also talking about a player that is coming off a significant leg injury that missed a large majority of the season last year. So this wide receiver room has two questions heading into the year. A, when is Rashee Rice going to be available from the National Football League? When is Rashee Rice going to be available coming off the injury? And just general attrition. This is a wide receiver room that got completely decimated by injuries last year. You had Hollywood Brown for less than six games last year if you were factoring in the postseason. You had Rashee Rice for less than a month this past year. So what does the health and availability look like for Rashee Rice? Can this wide receiver room stay healthy? We talked about this yesterday. The Chiefs have clearly told you what side they are on. They thought they had a very good wide receiver room last year, but injuries ended up being a major deterrent from things. We didn't have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all healthy at the same time. We believe at some point in the 2025 season, we will get a chance to see all of those players together. The Chiefs are taking a big gamble on that. And what I think is the biggest question for the Chiefs this year, and there is no real way to have this question answered, I think, until Halloween, maybe Thanksgiving. The Chiefs are clearly telling you that they believe the combination of Jalen Moore and Kingsley Suamataia gives them a better chance to win than what they had last year in the Super Bowl. This team is not much different than the ones that went up against the Philadelphia Eagles. The differences you would expect are going to be health for the most part. You just have more weapons, more things than you had going into that game, and your offensive line is better equipped. This team and its fortune feels very tied to Jalen Moore and the sizable investment that they made in him. You gave him $21 million for this upcoming season, but you do get the escape cap if it doesn't work at the end of this season to move on from him. But that's where we are. I mean, their offensive line is the same on 60% of it. From center to right tackle, they are the same. The difference is going to be Jalen Moore at left tackle as opposed to having Joe Tooney and the other options at left tackle. And it is impossible for them to be better at left guard this upcoming season than they were for a large piece of last year because of Joe Tooney. So we will see if this is a better combination of five people than the last year combination of five people. But for the most part, this offensive line is very, very similar. And they are taking the gamble that they are going to take a step forward by having more continuity at left tackle and someone who is better suited to play that position than moving Joe Tooney out of position and then having Mike Caliendo play left guard for them. That is going to be the biggest question that faces the Kansas City Chiefs this season. Coming up on the other side, we are going to talk to Chico Borman, who covers the Ohio State Buckeyes. We're going to take a look at every draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Today, we are taking a trip to every place that the Chiefs drafted a player. It is only fitting that we start with their first-round pick, Joshua Simmons, and one of our favorite people to catch up with, Chico Borman. He's with the Big Play Network. He also does post-game for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Chico, happy to have you join us on the show. It's always good when we have you two times in a week.
Yeah, I hope everybody feels that way, but I know I enjoy it and hopefully you enjoy it. It's always certainly a lot of fun, but especially after the draft.
So let's just start with this. You were a little bit skeptical, I guess maybe the right term to use, that Joshua Simmons would even be there at 32 for Kansas City. I certainly thought there was a chance that he could go higher than 32, but as we saw this draft play itself out, I thought it started to look more and more favorable that he was going to be there for Kansas City. And this was one of the players that you and I circled that made a lot of sense for Kansas City to draft. And they ultimately selected him with the 32nd overall pick.
Yeah, you're right. I think we said last week, or I said last week, that I would be surprised if the Texans, now, you know, the Texans obviously traded out. They got a great deal to trade out of 25, but that seemed to be the sweet spot, if there was one, for Josh Simmons. And then when that happened, I think I got on the horn to you and started trading text messages. But yeah, it felt like if he was going to go, you know, maybe could have gone a little bit earlier than that, but it felt like 25 was a sweet spot. And I know Houston had done a lot of work with him. They loved him. But then when that opened up, it seemed like, you know, wow, this could be, and then obviously Philadelphia moves up. Beach says offense, defense. Philly says defense, so it kind of fell together. I was talking to Rob during the when I was waiting for you. I don't know. It seems like it's not a very well-received pick. Would that be fair or unfair?
I think most people are excited about him, and I think there's always a belief that people want a player that you think is going to start for you immediately, that this seems like more of a pick for the future. But, I mean, the Chiefs have been trying to figure out this left tackle position, and also they're going to have to get rid of Jawan Taylor at the end of this year. They saved $20 million by cutting him, and you and I both know how the NFL goes. You then move on from that player, and then you insert a younger and cheaper player. So, I mean, this isn't a move that I wouldn't say there's a lot of fanfare for because of that reason. But I would say for the most part, people like this pick. People like this pick. People like this selection.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I certainly understand that. I mean, especially in today's day and age, whether it's the NFL, whatever sport, you know, you want it now, you want the gratification, the success now. I think if they're patient, and I know, you know, Jalen Moore is a backup for a reason, but if, and it sounds like from everything I've read and heard from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, is that, you know, you guys are, they're well prepared to basically say, okay, look, he's doing well right now, but we're not going to push him. I think it is a serious injury. I certainly don't want to downplay it, but you know, you heard a few guys, I think on draft night, former players say, yeah, I had this injury and I ended up being okay, but it did take me a solid year before I felt like, you know, me again. And that could be, so that injury happened in October. You know, maybe he misses four games. And I know right now, you know, it sounds like the end of the world. No, we need him on the field immediately. But in the end, if that's your guy, that's your franchise left tackle, and I'm not saying he is, but I think he has all the tools, all the ingredients to be, then I think you're more than happy with that selection.
That's why I like this move the most, is I think of all the places that Simmons could have been drafted, this is the best possible place for him. There is no pressure on him to start this upcoming year. They just gave Jalen Moore $21 million, and Juwan Taylor's got $20 million guaranteed. You and I both know the money normally dictates who gets on the field. So you spent a large investment on those two spots. This is a scenario in which Simmons can rehab, he can learn, he can sit behind, he can be a break in case of emergency if an injury happens. Of all the places he could have got drafted, this is the most low-pressure situation, at least for this upcoming season.
So, C-Dot, basically what this tells me is that Kansas City and a few other clubs are in positions where they have reached it. Not to say, you know, fans still don't want, they want everything right now, but they've reached a point where, you know, hey, they can take a bit of a chance. They've built, you know, a great team, a great culture, all of that. And yeah, I mean, Jalen Moore is not, you know, a star by any means, but there's a reason you have him. And I think it's well thought out. Put it that way. I think it's well thought out by Veach, by Andy Reid, and I think by October, November, and beyond, I think Chiefs fans are going to be saying, wow, that was one heck of a selection.
Another reason why I really like this move, and you can certainly speak to this, is Ryan Day said that he believes if Simmons had gone back to school that he would have been a top five pick in next year's draft. That's just not a player that is readily available to Kansas City with where they usually select. And the fact that you got that player, you can sit him, and then in 2026 you can potentially start him. This was the year to me to take that swing at left or right tackle to get a player who could possibly be a top 10 prospect in this year's draft class and then to ultimately get him at 32.
Excellent point. Excellent point. And I think, you know, when you look at his skill set, you know, he's extremely athletic for his size. He moves very well. If there was an area like he wasn't exactly a, you know, a road grader when he came over from San Diego State as far as the run game. But Ryan Day made a point to say, of course, before the injury and he went down, that he was getting better and better, you know, run blocking as well. Obviously, you know, his main priority at left tackle when he gets healthy, if and when he gets healthy, he's going to be, you know, keeping 15 upright. But I think he's a great kid. He was nothing but great praise for him from folks in Columbus, and yeah, I think he's just only the best is yet to come. And like I said, if there was a weakness, it was his run blocking, but even that got better before the injury.
Right now, we're talking to Chico Borman with the Big Play Network. He covers the Browns and also Ohio State, learning a little bit more about Josh Simmons, also trying to learn a little bit more about the Browns, as they have had a very eventful last couple of days with them. Watching Simmons as a prospect, do you think he's more of a left tackle or a right tackle?
I think he's probably more of a left. I know, you know, he played right tackle at San Diego State. That was the other thing that made it, you know, pretty amazing, is that he made that transition seamless. I mean, he, you know, and you didn't know. I mean, when he came over, like, is he going to be – now, granted, you're doing it at the college level, so you got a little bit he had the talent to do it. But I would say left tackle. But if worse comes to worse and he's better from the right side. But honestly, I think if you're saying, what do I want in my left tackle? You know, I want him to obviously be very athletic and he's got the size, the frame that you just can't teach. You know, so I don't think there's any talk about, oh, well, he's not long enough, he's not this. I would say he's probably more of a left tackle because, well, let's face it. I mean, that's where he was the last 2 years, and you certainly don't want to move him back. But, you know, they'll cross that bridge when they come to it.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about the Cleveland Browns, as they have been at the forefront of basically every interesting storyline with this year's NFL draft. Let's start with Shedeur Sanders. How are fans taking to them not only drafting Shedeur, they also got Dylan Gabriel in the third round?
Okay, we'll start with Shedeur. I think, you know, it's interesting. You guys have in KC, every fan base, where you've got some that are like, you know what, man, what a steal. They got him in the fifth round, and nobody saw this coming, and he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he's talented. And then there's some that say, well, you know what, a couple things. There's a reason that he fell to the fifth round. And I'm not talking about, you know, any kind of bias or anything like that. There's a reason just talent-wise. I mean, the Steelers, all you need to know is the Steelers, that was the team that really seemed to be, had him earmarked for. And all of a sudden, you know, the draft comes and Steelers are up again, and they passed on him. And what we were hearing, I don't know if you guys heard the same thing, but a lot of out of Pittsburgh was, yeah, we kind of saw Kenny Pickett 2.0 with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, Pittsburgh's a pretty good team, pretty good culture, pretty good, you know, history, whatever. Granted, the quarterback position since Roethlisberger leaves a lot to be desired. But I think the fans, I think they love being relevant. They love the fact, and you can probably hear it in my voice, yeah, it's fun to be on TV. It's fun to be all on all the sports shows. But, you know, they had that with Johnny Manziel. They had that with Baker Mayfield. They had that with, obviously, Deshaun Watson. And I'm not putting Shedeur Sanders in that category. He's done nothing wrong, per se. But you've got Deion. There's that sense of the circus. And I just feel like, and some fans are with me on this, you know what? It might be best if there's a year to just kind of catch your breath and hopefully work on that culture, because they keep talking about it. I mean, it's really a fun word to bandy about and say, oh, yeah, tough, smart, accountable. But you got to be consistent. You got to win consistently. You can't. And that's what teams like you guys do in Philadelphia, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Browns are not there. And so I understand, like, well, hey, in the fifth round, we had to take a shot. Okay, but also, is it going to be worth this circus? If this kid ends up being their quarterback, then yes. Obviously, that's the answer. But it feels like here we go again. There's going to be all of this locker room stuff. You've got two quarterbacks. You mentioned Gabriel. Not in a million years did I see him coming in the third. Nobody did. There is nobody in Cleveland, Ohio, and if they tell you they did, they're lying. They're the same people that said they were at Len Barker's perfect game in the 80s, when really there were only like 8,000 people in attendance. Everybody said they were there. Nobody in Cleveland said Dylan Gabriel in the third round. Nobody.
The one thing I'll say about Shedeur is, and you just spoke to it a little bit, is if you look at that quarterback room, there's a chance that he starts like week 11 for the Browns. You got Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel. I don't think that Deshaun Watson is going to be healthy enough this year. And then you got Shedeur Sanders, that I know it was a very windy road to get here. But if Shedeur can keep his head down, do the work, and perform well, he'll be given an opportunity to start in the NFL. And that's all any quarterback can ask for.
Well, again, another great point. You're right. Because of the situation right now, and maybe that's good for him, maybe that's not good for him. We'll find out because, well, you know, we've already had the conversation on the air like, uh-oh, in preseason, if he's not getting the amount of snaps, are we going to hear, is there going to be comments leaked out of bold? I mean, I think Deion's probably got his own issues to worry about coaching Colorado, but you're right in that, you know, look, Pickett's gone. I mean, they didn't pick up his option. They shouldn't have picked up his option. You brought in Gabriel and Sanders, so I think the writing's on the wall there. Flacco hopefully is a guy that can just be competent enough and make some plays in the offense to see you through. But I think they're really – what this comes down to, C-Dot, and I don't think it's any big secret, find your future quarterback. Yes, you've heard – since you and I have met, we've been having this conversation over and over. And once again, here we are. Could it be Shador Sanders? Possibly. Could it be Dylan Gabriel? I don't think so. Is it another guy next year with the two ones? Because, you know, again, they made that deal, and that was kind of – I'm not a big fan of saying, well, next year's class is loaded, because you don't know how things are going to play out. But find the damn quarterback and be done with it. I mean, this is just – this is ridiculous.
Last thing here, Chico, could you have ever imagined that your team would trade the number two overall pick and it just wouldn't be a massive story for you guys? Like, the haul that you guys gave up to not draft Travis Hunter was actually a really good haul. Like, you got a quarterback haul. You picked up a second-round pick. You picked up a first-round pick next year that'll give you ammunition to kind of move up and do what you want in the draft. It was a very smart trade for the Browns, but nobody is talking about it.
No, you're right. And that was – I was looking forward to until Shador came into the fold. And like I said, I understand them taking the chance there. But I was looking forward to, man, this is going to be such a – because a lot of people were debating, no, you can't pass on a generational talent like Travis Hunter. This guy's a unicorn and blah, 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 which I can see that. And then the other aspect, well, hey, I mean, look, this team needs a lot. You know, they get ammunition. They got a great haul from Jacksonville. Good pickup. Next year, maybe they can find their guy. And you're right. Now it's crickets on that topic. It's, you know, Shador and the circus, what could be the circus, who's going to be your starting quarterback. They've got a poll out, and I think Shador is right behind Joe Flacco and then Kenny Pickett. And then, well, Deshaun's not even in the poll. And then Dylan Gabriel. So that, take that for what you want.
That is our guy, Chico Borman, joining us on the show today. He is with the Big Play Network. He covers Ohio State as we were covering Josh Simmons, who went in the first round, also talking about all the storylines with the Browns. Chico, you know that I love talking to you. If you were on the show, that means Cleveland is advancing to the NBA Finals or something went terribly wrong with the Browns.
The Cavs look really, really good. And that was without DG last night. I mean, wow. When experience and talent come together, and Atkinson, you know, JB, don't forget about JB doing a great job getting these guys, you know, the nucleus, which Kenny Atkinson loves to point out. But Atkinson unlocked Mobley and a few others. That's a fun team. Sorry, I know you got to go, but I had to get some kind of positive note here before we get out of here.
No, I don't mind any of that. I mean, I think you're looking at it the wrong way. Yes, the Cavs look really good. The Heat looked as bad as any basketball team that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Ooh. And I, you know, even though I don't think anybody was thinking here or anywhere else that the Heat were gonna upset them, but I mean, Spoelstra. You kind of know, like, and that was our thinking going in. Like, yeah, even if they sweep, it's going to be a tough sweep. You're not thinking it's going to be the most combined points in the history of the league as far as the series. But, I mean, it was. I mean, they just 55. Tyler Herro's going into game four. Tyler Herro's going, you know, we're not going out like that. No, and not only did you lose, but you just got embarrassed. That was unbelievable.
That is our guy, Chico Borman, joining us on the show today. Chico, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for popping on today.
Love it, C-Dot. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. That is Chico Borman joining us on the show today. He is with the Big Play Network covering Ohio State. Also covers the Cleveland Browns as well. We didn't get a chance to talk about this, so let's just talk about it now. I think that the league has to do something to the Atlanta Falcons and the other organizations in which the players' phone numbers got leaked, and then kids were making prank videos and calling them and pretending to be NFL general managers. I think the league has to step in and do something. I am all for jokes. I don't have any problems with jokes. They're funny. But this new generation, they find, like, making other people's day worse a form of comedy, which just isn't really that funny to me. Like, I also hate the fact that I understand you're 21 years old. I don't want to make it like you're some stone cold hard adult. I don't want to paint that either. But if you're 21 years old, you certainly know I shouldn't be taking these phone numbers from these NFL prospects and then calling them and pretending to be an NFL general manager, all while recording it for laughs on the internet. Like, I hear these things, oh, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You made a choice. You made a choice to do this. So sure, it's not a crime. You shouldn't go to jail for any of that. But the team should certainly be fined. This information should not get out to the public. Your son, your cousin, whoever this person is to you, should not have access to these phone numbers to then harass NFL prospects. That's wrong. I understand that Shadur isn't the most popular person in the world. He is a polarizing person in the world. I don't think Shadur has done anything to deserve prank phone calls about him being drafted. That's the same thing for Isaiah Bond. I think there's another prospect that also went through this as well. That's silly. That's silly. I'm not here to be the old guy that just browbeats these young guys. And hey, you want to do cool things on TikTok? I'm all for it. This new generation, they find like bothering people at Walmart or people that are working at Build-A-Bear, they find that as a form of comedy and humor that's just not really that funny to me. If your comedy has to go out of its way to inconvenience somebody else's day or to make somebody's day significantly worse, I just would say you're not really that funny and you should just probably find new forms of humor. So that's where I stand on this. I know that some of you think, oh, he's a snowflake, it's a joke, you should be able to take it. I think we've taken the joke and stuff a little too far if that's the kind of road we are going down where now you're illegally getting people's number to call them and tell them they got drafted. I think we're doing way too much when it comes to this stuff. All right, we'll continue to bounce around. We're going to take a stop at every single draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've already done the first round. We'll do the second round. We'll do the third round. Really excited to do this experiment with you guys as we are going through their draft and kind of putting a bow on everything. Coming up on the other side, there were some very interesting numbers about early entrance into the NBA. And you know what? Some of you that are against paying players, it's actually working. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sunday. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about how NIL is helping college basketball, but we are going to continue to take a trip to every location that the Chiefs have made a selection in this year's NFL draft. Let's head to Tennessee to be joined by Zach Reagan, who covers the Tennessee Volunteers with A to Z Sports, to talk about their second round draft pick, Omar Norman Lott. They selected him in the second round. Zach, how you doing today, my man?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Doing fantastic. What kind of prospect did the Chiefs get with Norman Lott?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty versatile guy. I was expecting him to go round two, round three. It's kind of surprised to see the Chiefs jump up there and get him, just because there's some questions about his knee and some things there that came up during the draft process. But I always liked him at Tennessee quite a bit, just his versatility. He could play inside. He could rush the passer. Wasn't really asked to stop the run a lot, just because Tennessee had such a deep defensive line rotation. But I think he's got the potential to create some mismatch there on the inside for Kansas City.
Do you think he's a guy that can extrapolate out a little bit? Because I'm looking at last year, there wasn't a whole lot of production from him last year, but obviously Kansas City's asking him to come in and be maybe a third down guy or a rotational piece. Do you think he can be an every down starter in the National Football League?
I mean, he's got to go prove it, of course, but it was just Tennessee was such a unique situation last season where they deployed this real heavy defensive line rotation. They wanted to keep guys fresh late in games. So it wasn't just him that played limited snaps. It was kind of everybody across that defensive line. And then he didn't start a lot, which is something I think is kind of a bit overrated, that how many games does a defensive lineman start stat, because you had some guys that had been at Tennessee for 4 or 5 years. Omari Thomas, who came out this year and was signed as an undrafted free agent. Some guys that are still there that had been there since like 2020, 2021, which is kind of rare these days with the NIL era. But I think those guys got the start, you know, the ceremonial start over Norman Lott at times. But it was just really a product of a philosophy decision by Tennessee there.
Zach, if there's one thing that you feel very confident with him that's going to translate to the next level, what do you think that's going to be?
I think it's just his aggressiveness. He's a guy that there were times where he would push the line a little bit there at Tennessee. If you watched him in SEC games, some post-snap activity at times, if guys were mixing it up, he was going to be right there in the middle of it. He wasn't really starting it always, but he wasn't going to let guys just push around his teammates. I mentioned last time I was on with you guys that Trey Smith mentality. He's got some of that in him where he's going to be full go 100% of the time. He's a guy that gives his all every snap. So I think that part of his game is what translates, because if you don't have that, it's really tough to play in the NFL on an every down basis.
You and I both know that players bust in the NFL draft all the time. If he doesn't project out to what you think he can be, what do you think would be the reason? What would cause him to not be a good pro?
I would say just proven to not be an every down guy, or maybe if the knee issue that popped up during the combine, and we're not really sure what the deal with that was. It just got reported that it got flagged, but you know, I'm sure Kansas City has more information on that. Clearly they felt comfortable taking him there in the second round, but if something with that maybe creeped up, that would be about the extent of what I would think could come up and limit his production in the NFL.
I saw that he got suspended for a game for a fight. Was this just a one-off thing, or is there a character concern with him?
There was some stuff that was kind of behind the scenes that Tennessee never really talked a lot about. Maybe it was a half that he had to sit out here or there. And I think that just what I was talking to before, where it wasn't really a character concern. He wasn't causing issues. He wasn't causing off-the-field problems. He would push that line during games, and you know, he's going to have to rein that in a bit, no doubt. You can't go in the NFL and cost your team with a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in a key situation. That's a quick way to find yourself on the bench. But that is definitely something he'll have to rein in a bit there in the NFL.
Yeah, some of that just sounds like, I mean, if you want a very aggressive defensive lineman, like, I'd much rather be in a position where I got to kind of calm a guy down a little bit than have to ramp him up.
Yeah, for sure. And that seemed to be the situation with him. Like I said, there wasn't off-the-field issues that they were dealing with all the time. He wasn't a problem. He wasn't getting in trouble away from the field and causing issues or distractions in the locker room or anything like that.
When you look at the NFL, is there a defensive player that you think, hey, if he could turn out to be this guy, I think that's a really good projection for him?
Yeah, I'm not. He's a tough one to kind of compare anybody to, just because he's a bit undersized to be like a true run stopping interior defensive lineman. I think his versatility and the way that he can rush the passer from inside is kind of what sets him apart. I think that's what Kansas City saw, you know, slotting him in there beside Chris Jones and creating a lot of opportunities for him. So it's kind of tough to come up with a comparison for him, because he's not your typical edge rusher type guy, but he's also not your typical interior defensive lineman that's going to clog the hole and stop the run.
I don't want to put this word on him, but it sounds like you think he is a little bit of a tweener. Like, he's a little bit in between a guy that can get after the quarterback and also a guy that can be a true nose and really help you stop the run.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'd view him. I think he wants to put on a little bit of weight. I think he made some comments about that, and that he feels comfortable playing a little bit heavier than he was. I think he was around like 290, 295 when he's at Tennessee, so maybe he can get up over 300 there. But I think that's definitely something he's got to prove, is that he can operate in the same manner in the NFL that he did in the SEC, being that kind of tweener size.
That is Zach Reagan joining us on the show today. He covers the Tennessee Volunteers from A to Z Sports. Zach, you know what, man? This is the second time that we had somebody on the show kind of giving us a projection, and the Chiefs actually took those players. So happy to have you on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. That is Zach Reagan joining us on the show today. Happy to get his thoughts on Omar Norman Lott. We're going to head to Louisville coming up in a little bit to talk about Ashton Gelati. We'll get his projection coming up in just a bit. Now, this is just one person's opinion. I don't want to throw this out there. This player sounds like he has a relatively low ceiling to me. That's what it sounds like to me. Reading his NFL draft profile and hearing somebody that followed him, it doesn't sound to me like we are looking at somebody who has a chance of being a George Karloftis type, who I think is proven to be a very, very good player at his position. Not a star, but a very, very good player. It sounds to me like he's a little bit undersized. And if you look at kind of how he was used in college, like he didn't really have like monster production. This feels like a little bit boom or bust to me. Certainly maybe more of a chance than you would want to take with a second round pick with them getting him at pick 63.
I'm not going to lie to you. We were at the Chiefs draft party, chicken and pickle, Friday night. And I remember seeing this pick being like, who, what, why? So I was skeptical from the jump. Nothing Zach Reagan said there made me feel like, oh, I was wrong to be skeptical. He had a knee flagged. He was, you know, a guy who didn't start, had low production, and is kind of a tweener with he got suspended a couple times for a half and missed a game, but wasn't off the field stuff. It was just too aggressive. Like, I would have no problem with that guy in round four, but you're telling me you spent the 63rd overall pick or 64th overall pick on a guy who has all the makings of questions you don't want in a second round pick? That has me a little bit alarmed. Like, the way the draft works, someone in this class is going to be boom, someone in this class is going to be bust, and a lot of players are going to be just fine. A lot of the sentences you just heard from Zach Reagan make me feel like this could be the bust player, especially considering he's carrying a second round tag.
Yeah, I'm looking at this little overview for, and again, these are just draft prognostications. I'm not taking them like they're the absolute gospel. But listen to this sentence, or I guess two sentences. He plays with great hands and feet that work well to help him around the edges, but he won't offer much as a power rusher. His lack of size could also hurt him, but he has the potential to become a rotational defender and a sub-package rusher. Finding your Mike Dana type is not really what I want to do at pick 63. Like, we kind of use Mike Dana as an example. He was a sixth round pick. Yes, using that swing on a player that kind of maybe doesn't test, you're trying to find a position, and he turns out to be a plus player for you is one thing. We're talking about them taking that kind of player potentially at the 63rd pick. This is not me trying to be Debbie Downer. This is just a realization of how the NFL draft is. The draft tells you they are likely not hitting on both him and Gelati. Now, if you do, great. That's a big swing. If you were telling me that you think that they found their starting left tackle of the future, and they also found two starting caliber defensive linemen back-to-back, hey, we will look at this as an A-minus draft given what they were looking for in it. You're right. There's going to be some boom in this. There's going to be some bust in this. These next two picks to me, I think, are where you run into the possibility. I'm looking at Jalen Royals as a guy, just makes a lot of sense. The more and more I read about Jeffrey Bassa, it just feels like a linebacker that works for Kansas City, certainly with where they selected him. If he turns out to be Drew Tranquil, that's a really good rotational piece, and you'll certainly live with that with the 133rd, 165th overall pick. I am looking at these two picks. You took a chance on two players who can help you in the trenches, and now let's see what those players can potentially turn into. But just the law of averages in the draft, one of these two guys are probably going to miss in the draft, and you're hoping that you took two swings. You're hoping that you hit a double or potentially a triple with one of these two selections that you got on the defensive line. So we talked about the second round pick at 63. Let's go over to 66 on the other side. Keep it right here. It's the drive.